You guys made the trans. Whoa. Speaking of transitions. Well, it's good to be home. And I, just as a personal note, my wife Judy and I would really like to express our heartfelt thank you for all, especially the ladies that helped Judy in packing. And yes, we have too much stuff. So we really needed help packing, and we just want to thank all of those who were able to do that and volunteered their help and assistance. It meant the world to us and probably saved us from just throwing up our hands and saying, forget it, we don't want this stuff, which actually might have been a good thing. Anyway, so we are kind of halfway settled in our transition home. We're living in our daughter and son-in-law's basement in Moorhead until our home, we close on Wednesday on our new home, and then I don't know what it's like to buy a house I don't have to work on, so I have a bunch of work to do on it, and then we're going to move in January. So thank you so much for your help. We want to just welcome you all, and those who are listening by radio or watching on television, just welcome you to our service this morning, the first Sunday of the Advent season. And I just want to point out a few things in our bulletin. Number one, there are some adjustments to make. Where's Wayne? You aren't doing the Gideon presentation 2 weeks in a row, are you? Good. No, that sounded terrible. I'm sorry. All right. Well, we'll start out with my foot in my mouth and go on from there. What's the old saying? Open mouth, insert foot, chew vigorously. So we're not, that's changed. And also, Pastor Brad never has me do a children's sermon, so I didn't even prepare one. Daisha, however, promised that she will be available with goodies. So kids, you just don't have to listen to me or get to, but you will get your snacks. So I think that's the only changes. Are there any, you can read the announcements, upcoming things, and so on. Are there any announcements that either didn't get in the bulletin, or John's either being really friendly or he has an announcement?
We have a bunch of posters for the Kingery family. If you're able to grab some and put them up in the outlying areas, they're right up by the mailbox. So please grab some and spread them around.
Great, okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? Well, let's just take a moment to prepare our hearts for the service and enjoying his presence with us this morning.
Good morning. Our opening song this morning can be found up on the screen. The name of the song is In Christ Alone. Let's sing together.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid rock, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, striving seas. on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world our darkness slain. Precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Our call to worship is a responsive reading. As we light the first Advent candle, look to Jesus, the wonderful counselor. Rejoice in his name and remember his promises.
As we light the first Advent candle,
look to Jesus, the wonderful counselor.
He is the Father, and the Son of God.
In him are all the treasures of salvation.
As we light the first Advent candle,
look to Jesus, the wonderful counselor.
The Spirit of the Lord rests upon him.
The Spirit of wisdom and power. Look to Jesus and live in his strength. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that in your first coming, you came to save sinners. Stir our hearts to vigilance that we may reach out to others in your name. May we not be overtaken by the cares of this world, but remain watchful and ready to welcome you when you come again. Amen. We'll take a moment of silence for the lighting of the Advent candle. And now we turn to the hymn titled, O Come, Emmanuel. It's hymn number 34 in the green hymnal, or as seen as the screens, and I'll ask the praise team to come forward.
things that I love about the church family is that we should be able to come here and just be ourselves, that we shouldn't need to pretend that we're something different than what we really are. And that means that you get what you see, and you get a pastor that says dumb things in front of the whole congregation. And we accept each other for what we are. And even more importantly, the reason we can do that is because God accepts us as what we are. And the part of Advent that we are so thrilled about is the part that has already been. And that's where the Lamb of God came to take away the sins of the world. That's our sins. And so right now we get to enter into that part of our relationship with God and our relationship with each other, that we can just be real and say, Lord, I need you. And this is why I need you. So we come to the time where we confess our sins, and we do it without shame and without embarrassment and without hesitation, I hope, in that this is what we are, this is who we are, and this is who God is, and he's greater than us, and he accepts us. And isn't that nice? To know that we are accepted. Isn't that what we count on? His acceptance and his love. So in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and them the Holy Spirit. Please join with me as we confess our faith as it's been expressed in the Apostles' Creed, an ancient and very poignant description of what we believe as Christians. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Testament reading for this first Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down, and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continued to sin against you, were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. The reading is from Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Please respond to the prayers of the church. Looking to your return, O Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that you are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Teach us to number our days and live in the confidence that you reign forever as the King of Truth. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the hungry and homeless, for the unemployed and underemployed, for those who work in giving relief, and for our own giving spirit, that we may not neglect the poor nor fail to provide resources to the church to fulfill the Lord's bidding and spread the gospel to every place. Lord, in your mercy, protect us, O Lord, from distrust of your fatherly care when we become anxious about our earthly needs, and direct us anew to live for the hallowing of your name, the coming of your kingdom, and the doing of your will. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for those who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned and martyred for your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy.
Oh, come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad division cease, and be thyself our King. She was another unwed mother with not a lot to call her own. She had grown accustomed to how they stared at how she'd grown. She recalled their furtive glances, their knowing looks, their shifting eyes. She knew what they were thinking. They made no effort to disguise. But what they didn't know is that her child would be the man to make the saving sacrifice, to be the holy lamb sent in all his glory through the lowliest of birds. Came the man who gave his life to bring peace to the earth. Mary watched him growing, knowing all the while that her precious little boy had been born to die. And as she watched them nail her firstborn son to a tree, she prayed it wasn't all in vain, that someday they would see that this man would set them free. And what they didn't know is that her child would be the man to make the saving sacrifice, to be the holy lamb sent in all his glory through the lowliest of birds. Came the man who gave his life to bring peace to the earth. Her child would be the man to make the saving sacrifice. Sent in all his glory through the lowliest of birds. Came the man who gave his life to bring peace to the
Thank you, Amy. Advent. It's looking at it from the church calendar perspective, it's a time that we set aside every year to focus our attention on this event that we call the first coming of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. And as we have already done, we count so heavily on the truth of that and what that means for us. The Jewish people didn't have our perspective before the time of Jesus and during. They looked at the prophecies of the coming Messiah as from the perspective of they were future, and they didn't see really that there were two separate events that are both Advent events. Two events, though separated by thousands of years, connected by God in his heart and in his mind, in his plan for the salvation of his creation of mankind. That was challenging for them, and to see that they were two events, and most did not see it. And as challenging as it was for them, I think in some ways maybe it's as challenging, or maybe even more for us, because to celebrate Advent properly, we look back to his first coming, when he came as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But we have to turn and look forward to when he returns as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, where he sets up his millennial kingdom on the earth. Both are Advent. This morning's text for our beginning of Advent season is actually looking forward to when he will return. Not as the sacrificial lamb, but as the conquering king. There are many scripture in the Gospels that where Jesus talks about this event, this second coming. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. And Jesus says these things. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. And also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. for it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Herein ends the reading of the scripture of our gospel. Can we pray for a moment together? Heavenly Father, you spoke these words to us to protect us and to prepare us. We pray, Lord, that we would have ears to hear this morning and that we would sense in our hearts and in our minds what you are telling us today. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes it's helpful for me, and I think you probably know me well enough by now, that oftentimes for me to understand really what something is, I tend to look at first at what it is not. It's kind of like diagnosing an illness, maybe, that isn't straightforward. You start a process of elimination and get rid of what it isn't, so you can really focus on what it is. And this text, I think, is important. Any prophecy of the end times, I think it's important to do that, or we can go down rabbit trails that aren't helpful or healthy to us. This text, what it is not, it's not a detailed description of the Advent, Second Advent. It's not a formula for us to be able to figure out when he's going to return. It's not that. It's not designed for that. If we could do that, if Jesus had given us a detailed description that we could write out in a formula and we could precisely tell when he's going to return, do you know what our human nature would do with that knowledge? Of course we do. We'd use it to become complacent and self-focused, self-absorbed until that moment when we need to pay attention. It is also not a means to condemn ourselves, to judge ourselves against this standard and see whether we measure up or not. What it is a forewarning. The purpose for which is to prepare and to protect us. It warns us of the greatest dangers that will await us before his return. In verse 26, it says, people will faint from fear and foreboding. The power of nature, in a sense, will become unleashed, and it will be terrifying. Signs in the heavens, scorching sun, severe droughts, flooding rains, tornadoes, hailstorms, you name it, will take place in the heavens. Maybe even beyond our atmosphere and into the heavens. Beyond. The sea will display its awesome power in a way that is confusing and terrifying. There was a time when mankind first started sailing the high seas that the sea was a terrifying thing, unknown, unpredictable, and devastating in its power. And we have lulled ourselves into believing somehow that our technology has tamed that. That we have built ships strong enough and we have weather predicting that's accurate enough that the sea is no longer terrifying. Jesus says that the day will come when the sea will again be that terrifying and confusing to us. Beyond that, he says that life will weigh us down, an attempt to force our attention onto the present circumstance rather than onto the future reality of his coming, his advent. Great confusion and dismay will come from realizing that we are not in control after all. And all of our great advantages and advancements in science and technology have only given us the appearance of control. He also further says that our attempts to handle life's unpleasantness, life's difficulties, will not only not succeed in handling that, but will actually add to our burdens, and warns us, be on guard against believing that, he uses two words in this text, dissipation and drunkenness. Dissipation, if we look at it more broadly, it's like any unhealthy attachment to methods of escape to help us cope with the aspects of life that are uncomfortable and difficult. So we could throw in there all sorts of things, couldn't we, that we use to try to numb the understanding that we're not in control. We could use shopping. We could use all sorts of forms of entertainment. We could use occupations, our work. We use relationships to numb that realization. Overeating, obsessive health concerns. There's just tons of ways in which we try to numb the realization that life is bigger than us. He also talks about drunkenness, and I do know that he's specifically talking about alcohol, but we could throw other substances in there that accomplish the same thing of trying to numb us. Drugs, sexuality, gambling, all of these numb us from understanding and seeing just how frightening the world can be. And it will be more frightening, he says. The cares and worries of this world can overwhelm with anxiety and dread. And they all have the effect of weighing us down, don't they? They all have the effect of burdening our hearts. And they rob us of our strength, they rob us of our joy, and they force us to look down and in. They force us to look down at our circumstances and in at our fear and our dismay. And when we look down and in, we become self-absorbed and self-focused, concerned really only about ourselves. And Jesus says, be on guard against that. This is a real thing that will hurt you, that will hurt us, that will pull us away from what he is about to do in this world and what he's already doing now. So why would we look at this scripture to begin Advent? It's in all of the lectionaries. This first Sunday of Advent focuses on one of the prophecies of the second coming. Remember, please, what this is supposed to be. It is meant to prepare and protect us. It's not meant to give us precise detail, nor is it meant to make us feel condemned or like we're failing. That's just one more burden. It is meant to help us stay on guard, to keep aware. So this actually begs the question, then, doesn't it? How are we doing? How am I doing this Advent? Am I looking down and in? Or am I looking out and up? For the church as a whole, what did 2020 and 2021 reveal anything to us about ourselves, about the church, in regard to these issues? Did we get caught up in fear and confusion? Boy, it was sure a temptation, wasn't it? This fear and confusion gripped the whole world, and it caused great anger and fear. Fear often does cause anger. It actually was used to excuse and even normalize hurtful, divisive words and actions. Do we find our hearts weighed down by cares and worries of the world? Did we find our eyes mostly looking down and in? Or did we find ourselves looking out and up? Did we find ourselves more concerned about others and what their needs are and what they're going through and the fear that they're struggling with without an answer that we have? Even if these people don't see the things the way we see them, or even more importantly, don't want the things that we want, did we find ourselves concerned more about them than about ourselves? That's what Jesus is talking about. Did we find ourselves looking up, knowing that our salvation comes only from above? It doesn't come from governmental systems. It doesn't come from anything that man has and can do. It comes from above. Remember, this scripture is not meant to condemn us. It's not meant for us to feel guilty and make resolutions to be different and all of that. It's meant to provide and protect. It's meant to be straightforward words of Jesus saying, now, verse 28, now when these things begin to take place, stand up. Raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. In other words, straighten our backs. Don't be bowed over by the fear and concern that is raging around us. Nor concern about ourselves. Lift up our heads so that we can see the needs around us, so that we can be the ones who give the answer, who share the answer that we've received and count so heavily on. When we have our backs straight and our heads high, we can engage in His plan for this world and His plan for us. His redemption is close, both ours and theirs. And pray that the strength of God will inhabit us, because that's the way we get through this. That's the way we approach His second coming, is with His strength, not our own. And without giving in to fear, even though it is real, and it will become more real. But we have a God who is bigger than that fear, who is on our side, who is for us, Advent is very, very near. And I believe his word for his church, for us, for this Advent season as we begin it, is this: we can do this together, him and us. I believe in you. He wants us to know that he believes in us. There's work to be done and not much time left in which to do it. So let's do this thing that he's called us to. I believe that's what this Advent is all about. Again, let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a difficult word that you've given to us. It causes concern in us. We are not big enough for this task. And that really is the point. We need you desperately to walk us through this, to give us the strength to be ready for your second coming. Whenever that is, if it's tomorrow or next month or next week or next year, it is coming. And your church is here to do a work for you. Give us the joy and the strength to be involved in it. In your holy and precious name. Amen. Hymn number 343, or on the screen. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you've given us, for breath and life. Thank you, Lord, for those that we can pray for those who are in need. Thank you that you've encouraged us to do that, to bring our needs and their needs before you. Lord, we pray for those who are ill with COVID or other things, especially those who are alone, those who are fearful, those who are confused. We pray, Lord, for your presence to be with them and your healing to be upon them. We pray for whoever's caring for them, that you would give them wisdom and strength. They surely need strength right now. We pray in that regard, we pray, Lord, for our first line defenders, for those who are in the military, for those who are in fire and search and rescue and EMTs, and for those who work in hospitals and clinics who are struggling under a heavy load. Lord, we pray you would receive grace and strength and encouragement. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for our government. We pray for wisdom for our leaders in city, county, state, federal. There's so much that needs to be done and so many decisions to make, and so much of it is so great in its effect. Lord, give them wisdom and strength. Especially, Lord, give them humility to know that the answers come from you. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we want to pray for our pastor, for Pastor Brad. We just pray that he would be encouraged and that he would be strengthened. We pray that he would be reinvigorated by having a little bit of time off. Just protect him and watch over him. And we ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we join together and pray the prayer that Jesus himself taught us to pray? Can we rise as we pray this? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As our time together draws to a close this morning, let's remain standing and sing the doxology together.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Better than you.
blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious Lord.